and NPR. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The controversy over the proposed Islamic Community Center near the former World Trade Center site in Lower Manhattan has gone loudly, fully national, gone global. Politicians and fundamentalists are making hay on emotion and fear and offense around the issue. There are angry protests at the site. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg loudly defends the plan as a test and proof of American values. Today, we talk with three prominent religious thinkers, a preacher, an imam, and a rabbi, about how they see what's unfolding. Up next, On Point, Islam and Faith Relations in America Now. First, this new Country Now and the proposed Islamic Center in Manhattan. You can join the conversation. What are we learning in this Islamic Center debate? Is America becoming Islamophobic? How would that square with freedom of religion? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me this hour are three men, as it happens, of the cloth, a rabbi, an imam, and a one-time pastor, now big religious scholar. Joining us from Chicago is Martin Marty, an ordained Lutheran pastor and emeritus professor of religious studies at the University of Chicago. He's been called the Dean of American Religious Thinkers. He's the author of many books, including the just-released Building Cultures of Trust. Martin Marty, welcome to On Point.
Hello, Tom.
It's great to have you here. And from New York City, Rabbi Avi Weiss joins us. He's rabbi at the Hebrew Institute of Riverdale, large synagogue in the Bronx. In 1989, he led successful protests against the building of a Carmelite convent for Catholic nuns near Auschwitz. He's the author of Spiritual Activism. Rabbi Weiss, thank you very much for being here. Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, Tom.
And from Washington, we are joined by Imam Mahdi Bray. He's executive director of the Muslim American Society's Freedom Foundation, where he works as a civil and human rights activist. He's an itinerant imam giving sermons in mosques across the country. Imam Mahdi Bray, welcome, and welcome back to On Point.
Oh, thank you for having me, Tom.
We are eager to get the thoughts from each of you today on what's going on here. Martin Marty, let me start with you. What do you see unfolding in the now entirely national, even global in a way, furor around this proposed Islamic cultural center in Manhattan?
I see most of all a sign that our nation is in a state of fear and insecurity, which leaves an awful lot of otherwise good and rational people into patterns of opposition to others who'd been their good fellow citizens all along the way, and a situation that calls for a good deal of stepping back, getting a longer look, and starting over.
We have a constitution that guarantees freedom of religion. Some of the opponents of this Islamic cultural center are saying, yes, we do, but what about manners? Like, you know, something terrible happened very near here, and it would just be gracious not to build right there, not to be right there.
I think very quickly those who wanted to make an issue of freedom of religion on both sides have seen that it's not that. There's just no question that there's freedom of religion and freedom to build and so on. The issue, the key word has come to be sensitivity. Are you sensitive to the people who on the scene suffered, especially? And are you sensitive to the fact that to have a Muslim religious center, which will include worship space, it's been going on there for quite a while, worshiping in the neighborhood, but this would be rather visible, and is this insensitive? So it's got to be, yes, in your terms, it's a matter of manners and habit and custom and neighborliness and so on, more than freedom.
But it's also about a lot of passion and a lot of politics. Imam Bray, I mean, the cover of Time magazine, I'm sure you've seen it, big and bold as can be, is America Islamophobic? I mean, how would you answer that question today, Imam Bray?
Oh, I would answer the question that there are elements of Islamophobia in America. But I also would answer with the optimism that this is not the first time that America has faced the other, or at least in terms of expressing the outing of minority groups. And I'm confident that, you know, despite the Islamophobia that we face now, that we'll get through it. America, we've always been able to get through this type of discrimination towards minority groups, whether it's ethnic or whether it's religious. And I think that what we're really also dealing with is certainly the irrational fears of change. America is changing. Demographically, it's changing in terms of its ethnicity, and it's changing in terms of its religiosity. And sometimes change is an uncomfortable thing. So I think certainly a lot of what we're dealing with is also the irrational fears that come about when we have to make changes in people in their comfort zone and are asked to confront the realities of change.
Now, you say irrational fears of change. I can well imagine critics of this site saying, what do you mean irrational? The World Trade Center, you know, fell just a couple of blocks from there. Yes, those were radical fundamentalist terrorists, but it's not irrational, they would say, I suppose, to say, let's back off from this site. Do you think the cultural center should be where it's planned, Mom?
I think it should be where it's planned, because I think that as we talk about irrational fears, I think that we see that some of this has been stoked by people who have basically developed a cottage industry out of provoking fear in terms of Muslims and more in particular American Muslims. If moving the mosque was a solution, then that probably would be something that I think many within the American Muslim community would entertain. But the question is, how far do we move? And I ask this question rhetorically. Mm-hmm. Should we move it to Brooklyn? That's a long distance from Ground Zero. Mm-hmm. But guess what? The same people who are opposing and who started this campaign against the quote-unquote Ground Zero mosque are opposing building a mosque in Brooklyn. Should we go to Staten Island? That's a great distance. Well, the same people are doing the same thing there. And they're not only so doing it in New York, but in the state of Wisconsin, Tennessee, California.
Opposition to mosques and all these places.
So opposition, is throughout the United States. It's by the same group that seems to be hell-bent on saying that, we don't want, Muslims in this country. They don't fit. Their religion is incompatible with the principles of America. And that's just something that, being an old country boy, that dog just won't hunt.
You say it won't hunt, but this is being picked up and echoed and repeated by many politicians around this country right now. I mean, you see what's going on. It's got legs out there. Franklin Graham's saying, Islam is a religion of hatred, a religion of war. This is right in the mainstream at this point.
Well, let's put this in historical context. Certainly it has legs because people often, especially politicians, will put politics over principles. But nevertheless, at one point, being, as I call the imam that has a double whammy as an African-American and as a Muslim, has to worry about driving while black and flying while Muslim. I think that one of the things I can relate to is the whole idea of race relations in this country. We had a president, enlightened president like Woodrow Wilson, who thought that segregation was fine. That was the prevailing thought of the time. So thank you. And the Constitution will ask, is it lawful? I think on the two latter, that indeed this is where we rest our case.
Rabbi Avi Weiss, in New York, do you see the rights of Muslims being abused in this case?
I pray that it's not. I hope that it's not. And just a central part of what my rabbinate is all about is an embrace and a respect of all faiths and places of worship of all faiths. I have deep respect for religious places of worship of all faiths, but I've taken the position that the mosque does not belong near Ground Zero, where parts of the plains fell. And my reasoning is a bit different than that which has been put forth up to now. Mm-hmm. 9/11, as we all know, was an attack against America. And it was an assault on this country's, our country's fundamental principles of pluralism, of the need to embrace all of humankind. That's what America is about. It embraces people of all faiths, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, believers, non-believers, agnostics, and atheists. I was amongst the first responders, clerical responders, at 9/11. I was down there by noon. I breathed the air. I listened to the stories. I participated in the prayer services. It was a powerful moment, Tom, when I felt the broad rainbow and spectrum of what America was all about. And what I felt at that moment was that here was a contrast between killers who could see only one way of living and the American democratic way of openness and universalism that embraces people of all backgrounds and all faiths, and hence my position that it would be inappropriate for there to be built near ground zero, the site of an attack against an all-embracing way of life, any edifice that represents a particular religious belief.
But there are places of worship all over Lower Manhattan. I mean, is there not a risk that you end up kind of equating American Muslims with those killers who did such a terrible thing on that day with this stance?
Well, I'm going to respond to that in a moment. Mm-hmm. I want to put my position forth that in the place where America was attacked, I believe the response should be or should embody the spirit of America, that what should be there is a center where believers of all faiths and, of course, non-believers can meditate and reflect in an area that's open to all. As to your particular question, I distinguish between those edifices, and there's a mosque down there that pre-existed 9/11. They're grandfathered in. That's, from my perspective, in great, great contrast to edifices or to the building of a colossal Jewish community center mosque in response to 9/11.
And my wife, if you'd hold the thought right there, I'm so glad to have you, and I appreciate your comments right there. Martin and Marty in Chicago, please stand by as well.
Community center, there has been controversy around him, but from my perspective, this issue transcends any particular individual. Certainly, he's not a radical Islamic leader. He's not a Sheikh Rahmana. I know that actually very well, because the FBI notified me 7 months after they knew that I actually was on Rahman's hit list. So we're not talking about a person who I think falls into that radical perspective. But I did want to say something about the tone of the debate, and as this conversation has unfolded, I'm hearing that more and more. I'm especially concerned about the tone of the debate. Now, our response to 9/11 was one of a tremendous sense of unity. America came together. And here we are, almost 10 years later, and we're so divided. It's one thing to be divided and to have differences of opinions, but when those differences become, I must say, mean-spirited and extreme, then that becomes problematic. We've got to find a way, and I think this would be one of the greatest responses to 9/11, a way where Americans can disagree agreeably. And one of the ways, Tom, is to make sure that both sides do not impugn the motives of the others. For example, I would say to those who favor the mosque, those with whom I disagree, even Mayor Bloomberg, with whom I feel close, to those who favor the mosque, I think it's inappropriate to attribute to all who oppose it, people like myself, a demonization of Islam or a disloyalty to the American values of freedom. That's not the case. I have a synagogue in the Bronx. There was a fire near Yankee Stadium that affected Islamic families. I felt within me a need to go to that mosque, to go into the mosque, and in fact speak to the bereaved. I feel that very, very deeply. So again, I repeat, to those who favor the mosque, please don't attribute to people like myself who oppose it that I demonize Islam. I welcome the opportunity to engage in interfaith dialogue with my religionists of other faiths.
But you must have heard the tones, speaking of tone, Rabbi, of so much of the opposition to the mosque.
I mean, and I would say the same thing. I would say that to those who oppose the mosque, they should not attribute to those who defend it a disloyalty to America or a hopeless naivete. And my contention is that we're hearing the extreme voices. We're hearing extreme voices, but the voices of the center, which is, I think, the majority voice on both sides, which is far more nuanced, those are the voices that must be heard.
Imam Bray, can you separate opposition to this Islamic cultural center from demonization of Islam, or are they implicitly?
Well, I think the rabbi said, yeah. Well, I think the rabbi also made my point, and that is that this is not a situation where people who are either proponents or in opposition are all people who have ill intentions or are behaving in a way that's disrespectful of faith. People certainly can disagree without being disagreeable. And I think in some cases we find that. I think the rabbi is a classic example of that. But I think it would be disingenuous not to recognize that that the magnitude from which this conversation has evolved certainly sprung from those who have a track record of demonizing Islam, demonizing Muslim organizations, their leaders, trying to present Islam as something that is unsafe for America, incompatible with America, fifth column, etc. But I do believe, and I share with the rabbi, the need for what I would call, for lack of a better word, the better angels, you know, of America, which has always been the, if you will, the redeeming quality of America, whether it was the issue of slavery or the issue of new immigrants coming into the United States during the 30s and the 40s, or the great civil rights debates in terms of dealing and addressing Jim Crow and segregation. All of these type of situations, always America, the better angels, which I do believe are truly the solid majority, eventually come to the forefront. But if we're not advocates for this, if we're not, you know, people who are going to say, let's come together and rather than, and let's unite rather than divide, you know, this nation, then certainly you're challenged. But I do believe that there are better angels out there who can actually come together around the central issue of this, the project. That is the ability to say that we are still one nation, and that what happened on the tragedy of 9/11 affected us all, that we all lost loved ones. Mm-hmm. Muslims died, Jewish people died, Christian people have no faith affiliation reason, or bigots, or Islamophobic, or the other way around. But I think that finding that common ground becomes the challenge of those who want to be a part of what I call the better angels of America.
But do you think that one can oppose this siting of the community center and be on the side of the better angels of our nature? Can you oppose this site and be, you know, sort of with the better angels here?
Okay, well, I believe you can oppose the site, and of course, I'm on the opposite side, so I would say that, you know, that I challenge your opposition or the opposition, but I do believe that there are people of good intent who really feel that this flies in the face of sensitivity and things of that nature, and they're entitled to their opinion. That doesn't necessarily mean that I agree with them, but I am open-minded enough, and my spirit is open enough to recognize that there are people who genuinely have those feelings. I can also believe that there are people who don't understand Islam and for some reason can't distinguish between the culprits who committed this horrible act of terrorism and the Islamic faith itself, you know, and that, and those people, I do believe that certainly this will be an issue of uncomfortability. But I think ultimately for me, it's a matter, again, of religious freedom. It's a matter of, again, of looking at the importance of being able to say that in America, in this place that we call America, in which we've gone through so many trials and tribulations around the issues of freedom and democracy, that in this place, there is no place to say that one group is in and another group is out. And I think that's, for me, that's the crux of the issue, and that's kind of the salient point from which, you know, my advocacy springs.
Mm-hmm. Imam Bray, please stand by. Rabbi Weiss and Martin Marty, we've got lots of listeners. How do you respond to that criticism? And, it, you know, it's related to the Franklin Graham criticism. I mean, it's more moderately put there by our caller, but religion of hatred, religion of war.
Well, certainly, I reject the notion that it's a religion of hatred and a religion of war. Certainly, bad practitioners don't invalidate the practice any more than the group calling themselves the Ku Klux Klan, who actually firebombed our home in 1955, represented Christianity. So you can always find zealots who will misinterpret the scriptures. And if you find, if you look at the Abrahamic tradition, it is a tradition of redemption.
Yes, Imam Bray says it looks like a why. What could be wrong with that?
Well, first, I want to say something about the Jewish tradition. We do have some difficult texts, but across across the denominations of Judaism, we're not written law Jews. We are Jews. Judaism understands the written law from the perspective of the oral tradition, and these difficult texts have been dealt with. In my book on spiritual activism, I talk about how the test of a spiritual activist is the readiness to speak critically to our own groups. The reality is, while I distinguish between larger Islam, which is peaceful, about 15%, according to the experts, of Islam today is radical. There are a billion, if there are a billion Muslims in the world, that's 150 million people. That's a lot of people. So I think that the task of those in the Islamic world, if I may say, is to constantly speak out against the violent tendencies, the extremists within their faith, just as I think my responsibility, and I do this constantly in my synagogue, is to speak out forthrightly and powerfully against the demonization of Islam. And I want to say just one word about religious freedom. Religious freedom is at the core of who I am. Still, nonetheless, I oppose this mosque. It's a function of venue. In the late 80s and early 90s...
You say mosque again, but I must just say Imam Bray he's just describing it as something quite different from mosque, a prayer room inside of the equivalent of a YMCA.
Well, if that's in fact, in the end, what it's all about, if the primary purpose is a community center, not a mosque, then why build it there? Why not move it? I think this point about religious freedom is an important one, if I may. In the late 80s and early 90s, I was protesting against the convent that was established at Auschwitz. Now, I have deep respect for convents, but my argument was that a convent does not belong at Auschwitz, the largest Jewish cemetery in the world. And even the Pope, it took many years, but Pope John Paul II came to the conclusion that it had to be moved, and he ordered the nuns out. So what's true about the convent, I think, is true about the mosque, is a convent does not belong at the largest Jewish cemetery in the world. And when I denied and when I protest against the convent, that doesn't mean that I'm against religious freedom. I protested it because the venue was wrong. And so, too, does the mosque not belong in a place where, as I've been saying, where Americans representing a wide range of religious and ethnic backgrounds were killed. And by the way, let me get this in. There's the greatest affront at Auschwitz today is that in Birkenau, which is the real theater of death, it's not our topic, but there is a large church, which is, in my opinion, again, I have deep respect for churches, but a large church does not belong at Birkenau, which is the real theater of death in Auschwitz itself.
Marty, the rabbi says, just move it. Just move the plants, somewhere else. What about that? And also, I want to ask, to your ear, is it demonizing Islam to say Islam, Muslims are 15% radical?
Yes. I think that when you start putting statistics on this, it'll soon be 20. That is, every time we do this kind of thing, we are the best recruiters for those movements. When Scott Appleby and our Notre Dame and I made this study for the American Academy, we always found tiny little radical movements anywhere that could always attract many people to them out of irritation. Now, I don't think America should make its foreign policy moves always in the light of, oh my, we're going to alienate somebody. But I think when American citizens are perceived this way, if you're a recruiter anywhere in the world, Malaysia, Indonesia, all these non-Arab places where you have Muslims, and you say, look, we can't even have a center there because they say that's their sacred space. You can have strip clubs and you can have bars and you can have other things, but you can't have this. I certainly agree with the rabbi about, I've been to Auschwitz, but when I think about it, I worship in the convent. It's the cloistered order of nuns. I don't think it's 100 yards from Auschwitz, and its entire purpose is reconciliation. Polish priests bring teens there to worship and then to visit Auschwitz to learn what, quote, their people suffered.
But that's not the way it was perceived, and the Pope understood that. I mean, in the world of spirituality, which is a world that we're all involved with, spirituality is intertwined with the concept of stepping back rather than grasping. In Judaism, it's the Kabbalistic fighting back. And that's what Pope John Paul II understood. He said, you know, I'm going to step back and ask the nuns to move because it's upsetting so many people. And with so many people upset by the creation of the mosque, why not step back? Why not find another site a bit further away? By the way, that convent was moved a short distance away. Stepping back that most people perceive to be a defeat, that's not the case. In spirituality, the stepping back to be a heroic gesture on the part of this imam to bring calm to the community that we desperately need.
First, Martin.
Well, you know,
Stepping back, would that be a heroic gesture?
Well, I think stepping back, if we look at the historical contents of how we've been able to evolve towards doing the thing, the right thing, is stepping back is not always also stepping forward. Stepping and moving forward also has spiritual value. I think Dr. King was typified that kind of concept, that there are times when silence is betrayal. There are times when you have to speak up and you have to be accountable. I think that's a requirement. You know, in our faith tradition, we say speak a word towards justice, even if it's against yourself or your closest kin. So we are obligated to try to stand for that which is right and that which is just.
Dr. King stood for nonviolence. There's been a number of characterizations here today about radicalism in the Muslim faith.
Dr. King was a Christian, and certainly to make the comparison that for some reason Dr. King's nonviolence was could be invalidated by those in Christianity who have exercise violence, mm-hmm. It's just as ludicrous as to say that those of us who, in Islam, who believe in peace and nonviolence, that our efforts are invalidated by those who would turn the tenets of our faith on its head by participating in violence. And as a side note, I would definitely challenge the rabbi's statistics in terms of the 15%. I don't think that's what Pew reports or anybody else reports. So I would be interested in who the experts are that say that 15% of the Muslim world is engaged in extremism and violence. I think those numbers don't really reflect the realities in which we live.
A couple more calls. Joel in Cabot, Vermont. Joel, you're on the air.
Hi.
I have to do this again. I really appreciate having each of you with us. I hear everybody saying, let's disarm this conversation and make it a bit more civil. We're all for that. Real issues at the base of it, not easily resolved. I'm very grateful to each of you for being with us.
Great pleasure.
Rabbi Avi Weiss, thank you very much for joining us in New York.
Thank you for having me.
Imam.
Enjoyed my two colleagues and the callers in.
Great. Callers, thanks for being there. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.